Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful morning to praise our God. But I got to break something to you right off the bat. Okay? I'm your pastor, so I have to say stuff like this, okay? But you're a little different. Okay? You're a little strange. But don't worry, that's a good thing. You know, the world all around us wants to be served, and sometimes we can fall into that, but we know better. We know that the greatest thing in this life is to serve, and we know that because that's what our Savior did. Jesus was a servant for us, and that's what we're going to praise Him for today. That's what we're going to remind ourselves of today, and hopefully always, thanks to His grace. You'll see that reflected throughout the service this morning, and we start off by remembering the loving heart of not just our God and our Savior, but also how we can reflect that with Him. 491, O Master of a Loving Heart. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
We sing. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has indeed been merciful to us. and he's given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just acknowledged what we are to God, and that's forgiven. God be praised for that. And so our humble Savior who died for us, we see that work in his believers too. And we see that in our first lesson. From Numbers chapter 12, Moses was very humble. His own brother and sister betrayed him, and he could have done much worse, but instead he prays for their forgiveness. Numbers 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came and down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease, and he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. The word of the Lord. We sing the psalm of the day, Psalm 31.
Thank you.
sing that song that's based on humility and recognition of what God has done for us, we take a look at the fruit that comes from such an attitude. A good godly attitude bears far better fruit than an earthly one. We take a look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Join together in another song, hymn 498. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus are found in the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9. This will also serve as our sermon text for today. From Mark 9. Know it by memory. That's good. From Mark 9. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in our humble servant Savior according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and if there are any children who want to come forward for a children's message, you can meet me up here at the front step. Good. Are you set? You ready? All right. Morning, guys. How's everybody doing? Good? Can I get a couple of volunteers real quick? Stand right here. What I want you to do is I want you to stand like you're great. You're really important. Okay? Like this. Your chest puffed up. Go ahead. Good enough, good enough. All right, can I get another volunteer? Kyler, you want to come up? Kyler, I want you to take this, and I want you to clean his shoes. Good job, make sure not to miss anything. Make sure you get in there. All right, good. And now I want you to tell him to clean something else, anything. Tell him to clean something else. How about the railing? Clean the railing. There you go. Just wipe it. Wipe it a little bit. Good. All right. While you're over there, why don't you wipe off the top of the lectern over there too? Yeah. Good. Yeah, that spot was really dusty. All right. All right. Come on back over here. Now let me ask you, everybody. Which one was the greatest? Who was the greatest out of these two? Was it the one who was looking the greatest, the one who was maybe given the commands? Good, yeah, good implied answer. No, yeah. Wasn't, was it? It was Kyler. Kyler was the one who was serving. In God's eyes, that's the greatest that you could ever do, was be a servant. Why, if you think about it, look at our Savior too. What did he do? He did not come to be served, but to serve. He was just like you. He was lowly. He was down below. He was kind of cleaning up our mess in a sense. God was telling him, God the Father was saying, do this, do that, and he was doing every single thing. Why? Why did he do that? Why do we be servants? Because of what it brings. Look at the benefit that Jesus brought to us. What did Jesus do for us ultimately? Died on the cross, and what did that bring us? Our sins are washed away. Absolutely. Our sins are completely washed away. And ultimately, we'll all be where someday? In heaven. All because Jesus was a servant. Now that is great. And that benefit is great. So you and I, what do we get to do? We get to not look at the outward things of, okay, this is great, or we get to act great. No, we get to act great in God's eyes. We get to be a servant for each other and do things for each other. Just like our Savior did. Let's ask God for help for that. Let's pray. Fold our hands, bow our heads. Father in heaven, we praise you for sending your Son. Forgive us for the times when we are selfish and when we aren't a servant for each other. Lord, make us like you. Remind us of what you've done for us. You've washed us clean. Remind us also of what it means to be a follower of you. We also serve each other. We ask this all in your name. Amen. All right, you can hand me that. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you very much for your help. And we'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 492. 492. God's grace and God's goodness bless you deeply, brothers and sisters. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Mark chapter 9, the gospel lesson. But let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your love. Amen. What did you want to be when you were growing up? What did you want to be when you were growing up? Yeah? Good.
I'm a truck driver.
Truck driver. Astronaut, anybody? Rocket scientist? Doctor? Yeah? There you go. Oh, Tatum's hand too. Doctor. Good. Movie star. Sports star. Yeah? Yeah, that was me too. You know, when I was 5 years old, I had no idea what I wanted to be, understandably, when I was growing up. And when that question was asked on a worksheet in class, I didn't know what to put. And so I put monster. Eventually it changed to a Major League Baseball player. And I wanted to be that for a really long time. And I used to joke with my family, too, that, oh, maybe I'll be on a team with the mascot of the Monsters. It'll make sense. Eventually, then, it changed to doctor, And it doesn't matter. Really, what I wanted to be, the main idea was I wanted to be someone great, right? I wanted greatness. But there was something missing from that list, wasn't there? And I don't think I'm the only one. True greatness in God's kingdom is very different than what the world thinks. You know, I don't think when I was younger, I had on my list that I wanted to be the lowliest servant. I can guarantee you that that was not on my list. But spoiler alert, greatness in God's eyes is being a servant. Right? And you've heard that before. And if you haven't, well, you're hearing it now. And yet you and I can still struggle when we get that idea. We can still struggle to apply that to our lives. And what is it that we need to be reminded of? What is it that we need to remind ourselves of, too? Well, that's what we're going to dive into today. In order to know what being a servant means for us, first we're going to take a look at what a servant meant for Jesus. And that's a good place to start because you all know, or you're here because of it, really, Jesus' greatness cannot be denied. We see him in Mark chapter 9 being great, as always. Now in Mark chapter 9, he's more and more withdrawing from the crowds. Because why? Because he was serving his disciples. And really us, he wanted to more intensely teach his disciples because we're getting to crunch time. 6 months now from what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem, where he was going to die and pay for the sins of the world. And so when he is gone and he ascends into heaven, he needs his disciples to be ready, to be able to handle that and to share that. And I'd say that that service worked pretty well for you and me. Look at us today. We're still here. But the disciples did not have the benefit of history that we do. So Jesus was preparing them. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." He lays it all out there for them. For what is now the second time, he was going to be delivered into the hands of men. That's a hint, hint at his betrayal. Judas, you paying attention? Jesus knows. He knows what's going to happen. And did you catch the irony? The Son of Man was going to be delivered into the hands of men. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That Son of Man was that humble title for the Messiah, but it also came with this glory and this benefit for God's people, where everybody was looking forward to him, the long-awaited Messiah, and yet even he was going to be betrayed. And he knew it. He knew it was going to happen, and he knew it was going to happen after he was betrayed. He simply says, "They will kill him." From Son of God to Son of Man to being betrayed to being killed. From unchanging eternal glory and power to being killed by his own creation. That's quite the drop. That is talking about being the Lord of all down to being the lowliest servant. But that's what Jesus had to do for you and me. In order to save his precious creation and the crown of his creation, mankind, he had to be killed as a member of mankind. But he did it because he knew that's what he had to do. And thankfully he did. Because he did indeed die. He did indeed pay for our sins. He did indeed do what happened next. And he prophesies it here so that we know what it meant and what it will mean for us. After 3 days, he will rise. All right, disciples, listen. This is what's going to happen to me, but this is also what's going to happen to me. Okay? So don't be afraid. I know what's going to happen. It's all part of the plan. It was always been a part of the plan. So just be ready. But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. Ah! Come on, guys. How long have you been with him? How long have you seen what he can do? How long have you heard his words and seen the power behind him? And still, you get afraid and still you don't understand. It's just like us. Really, how often do we hear about Jesus being the Son of God becoming man? About Jesus dying for our sins and that payment was sure accepted, that Jesus rose to life, and that, yeah, we have hope beyond hope, and yet we still have grief and guilt and fear overcome us, and God just goes, ah, come on, you guys. How many times have I got to tell you about my son, the perfect servant, the servant of all, the servant for you? His greatness cannot be denied, and he was great on your behalf. Just trust in his greatness. And you and I need to be reminded of that. Not only do we need to be reminded of what being a servant meant for Jesus, we also need to be reminded of how we apply it in our lives, what it means for us to be servants. The disciples obviously needed that too because of what happened next. The disciples were about to do something pretty boneheaded in light of what Jesus was just saying. Apparently they had been arguing on the road. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Come on, really? After what Jesus just said? He just said that the Son of Man was going to be betrayed and killed, and now you're worrying about rank and who's the greatest? Really? Yeesh. But again, the story is the same for us. You and I come here, like we just did. We acknowledge where we are. We're lowly compared to him, right? Especially because of our sin. We acknowledge what he has to do for us. We acknowledge that grace and forgiveness. Then we go and we praise him for it. And then what do? We go out those doors and completely forget about everything that we sang and talked about and heard about. We fall in line again with the world's thinking of greatness. Who's the greatest? Who gets the most praise and accolades from others? Who's the greatest church volunteer? Who's the greatest employee in your office? Who has the greatest ideas for life and ministry? Who's the greatest sibling in your household? Who's the greatest spouse in your household? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And we love to take these ideas and then make a list out of them too and rank each other. We like to rank, what are the best jobs? What are the best sports teams? The best novels? The best movies? The best this? The best that? But usually our list, when it comes to our lives, is a list of two, isn't it? The greatest is me. The least is everyone else. And that's our list. We go around, we think, well, the world revolves around me, so everyone should get excited when they get a chance to serve me, right? Isn't that how you get excited when you have a celebrity or someone famous or someone well-respected in your life? You get excited at the chance to talk to them, to meet them, to serve them. Well, that's how everybody should act around me, huh? Because the world revolves around me. And when we get like that, it closes our eyes, not just to the opportunities to serve each other, but to the excitement that we can have to serve each other. The disciples, obviously, were having some of the same struggles. So this was a big teaching moment for Jesus. This was his opportunity. So, important teaching moment that it was. Jesus sits down. He calls his disciples to himself, and they probably gather around him in a half circle. This is his way of telling them, all right, now this is really important, okay? Sitting down, Jesus called the must be the very last and the servant of all. You must be the first, the greatest, if you are the very last. Really, the very last? I mean, I'm okay with middle of the road at least, right? I'm okay with, you know, good, but, you know, not great, not proud and flashy, but I'm okay with that. But very last, really? All the way at the end of the line? And servant of all? I'm okay with being a servant of those I like and those who make me happy and when it benefits myself, I guess, but really servant of all, even the ones that I'm mad at, the ones I don't respect, servant of even them? Yeah. No matter how you think of it, whether it's putting yourself at the end of the line and putting everybody else in front of you, or putting yourself at the very lowest and serving everybody above you, that's what you do. You must be very the first if you're the very last and servant of all. That's the greatest in God's kingdom. Now, as I say that, I know that you're part of you is thinking, amen, that's true, that's great. But there's also that other part of you, isn't there? That's going, I kind of want to ignore that because I don't want to implement that in my life. Why is it that we do that? You and I, we can get selfish, but why? Have you ever thought about that? And this will help us understand why we want to serve as well. Why do we get selfish and me-focused? What does it do? It benefits us. It gives me a better position in people's minds. It makes me happier. It makes my life easier, whatever it is. I know it's obvious, okay? But it's also true for the reverse. Why do we serve others? We don't do it just to do it. We don't do it for more recognition for ourselves. We don't do it just because God tells us do this, and that's bland and boring. No, we serve because of the benefit that it brings those others. I never thought to myself, I want to be the lowliest servant of all. And shame on me when I was growing up, because there's nothing greater. Look at the benefit that it brings others. If I'm able to serve somebody else and it brings them up and brings benefit to their lives, well then, to God, that is just the greatest. We do well to remind ourselves of the benefit we bring others, because that's what Jesus did. Think about it. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be killed. He knew all of that. You think he was excited for that? No, there was a lot of pain that was coming. It was going to make his life harder, but why did he do it? What was he focused on? Who was he focused on? You and me. He didn't do it for his own benefit. He did it for ours. He lived that life so that we could be completely forgiven. Ironically, betrayed into the hands of men in order to forgive them. And we have that forgiveness. And how do we know? Well, guess what? His resurrection is also benefiting us. He did it as a servant for us. That way we knew that, yep, his payment was indeed accepted. He rose to life, and yep, that means that I will too. His resurrection was even serving us. That's why he did it. For you and me. For every single one of us. And to drive that point home even more for the disciples. To make it memorable. Oh, there I am stepping on it. To make it memorable. He gives them an object lesson. Jesus brings a child in front of them all. It says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. A child isn't well known and greatly influential yet. You help with a child's concern, it's not going to be on the front page news. I think Gideon's biggest concern every day is, oh, where did I leave my Paw Patrol toy? You're not going to be having your name big and bold with a big thank you in the weekly update when you mow the lawn here at church. You're not going to be on the national news for washing the dishes at home. You're not going to be celebrated and heralded as a community hero for giving someone 5 minutes of your time or $5 from your wallet. But you benefited somebody, anybody, even the lowliest thing. There is no service too low. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? The servant of all, the servant of all, the servant of all. No service too lowly. Now that is great in God's eyes. Why is that great? The greatest thing? Because when we do that, who do people see? They see Jesus. Heard someone say it. And they see the Father who sent him. Jesus, the one who came down and was our Savior, servant of all, they see him. And they see the one who sent him and how much love he has. There is no greater benefit than that. So what is true greatness? Look no further than to our own Lord and Savior for a perfect example and for the definition. What does true greatness mean for us? Look no further than even the lowliest need around us. Forget about what you wanted to be when you were growing up. From this day on and every day, all the way until the rest of your lives, we want to be servants. May God open our eyes and our minds to the opportunities and the benefits that that brings. Amen. And go back to your seats. Please stand. May the peace that the servant of all won for you guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We join together to pray that God would work through this word that we just listened to according to the words of a song called Create in Me. Seated for the offering. This morning in our special intercessions, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Greg Pluckhan, who's undergoing surgery this week, Paul Goddard, Myrtle Brown, and Bev Heinitz, We also include a prayer for all of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. And we also include a prayer of consolation for the family of Lois Brower's sister, Lorraine. Please stand for the prayer of the church, which we'll speak responsively on page 10. We pray. Almighty God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and clouds are messengers of your wonder and might. For your creation we praise you, O Father. We pray for your church and your people. Grant us ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit and earnestly hold forth your word of life. Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of your word.
Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love, and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness.
Bestow your favor on all useful labor and industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement your people may prosper.
We pray for all who may be healed with body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in anxiety or perplexity, for all who may be suffering disappointment or defeat. Be present with them in their afflictions. Show them the way out of all their troubles, and save them for your mercy's sake.
All-powerful and all-loving God, we thank you for comforting those who are sick and suffering. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away their pain. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith so that they may see your loving hand even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all those who are celebrating birthdays as well. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth in the Spirit. Compassionate Lord of all, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Bless those families who have suffered loss with the assurance that all our times are in your hands. Place your grace and your faithfulness before them, that they may find true comfort and reassurance in your love. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions that you read in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the next hymn, hymn 484.
Thank you.
Now please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated again. Our final hymn is a song that the children sing quite often in our Wednesday chapel services. It's called Make Me a Servant. It's there printed for you on page 12.
Morning. I'm Greg Thiesfeld, principal of the school. It's my privilege to do the announcements for you this morning. We've been in school for about a month now and settling into things for the school year. And this morning we have a slide presentation with a lot of pictures that will highlight some of the things we've been doing at school. Things like, before school even started, we had a big campus cleanup, and there have been events that have been going on, field trips, and there will be some pictures of that will highlight the kindergarten through second graders who will be singing in the second service today. So, and Ms. Thrams put this together, and so we thank her for that. So let's take a look at that video, and then after the video, I'll have a few other announcements.
Not working this morning. Sorry, principal. Not working this morning.
So maybe we'll be able to get that going for the second service today. You could stick around for that. We welcome everyone to our services, though, today. I'm glad to have you worshiping with us. It's good to be in God's house together. A few other announcements today. We encourage everyone to stay for Bible studies. We have Bible study here in the sanctuary. Teen Bible class will be meeting upstairs in the room, in the balcony. And then Sunday school will be gathering for a devotion at 9:15. There's also a Bible information class, I believe, with Pastor Groth in the chapel. And those Bible studies for adults are at 9:30, and again, the Sunday school is at 9:15. We have an event going on today, a church event today at Rush Park. It's called Sunday Fun Day. This is not just a St. Mark's event, but we will have a display up, and people from the community that come to Rush Park will have a chance to hear about what we're doing at St. Mark's and ministries that we have here. That goes on from 11 o'clock this morning until 3 p.m. Some other things that you'll see in the weekly update include the second annual Painted Cork event. That's October 14, and you can sign up for that. Yesterday we had, here on our campus, we had the community cook-off, and that was a big success. We had about 200 people here. We'd like to say a big thank you to those who did the cooking, those who brought food for the big potluck that we had at the end of it. Thank you to the planners, Board of Outreach, and everybody who made that event happen. It was a really, really nice event. So, the next outreach event that's planned is called Trunk or Treat on October 26th. And you can volunteer to help with that if you'd like. Contact Pastor Groth if you're interested in participating and helping with that. There is a Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, LWMS, gathering on October 20th that you can sign up for. And I think that about wraps it up. God bless your week. It was good to have you with us in church this morning.